It's always good to be here, and I look forward to it. And I have gone through a series of surgeries, different kinds of things over the last couple of years. And I keep wondering, is this the end of my ministry, my end of my speaking, my end of serving God by being a pastor to the pastors? And God says, no, I've got some more work for you to do. So he's restoring my health, he's restoring my balance, and restoring my mind, which is good because... Yeah, and you know, I on this Father's Day, you know, I've had two of my sons, one from Portland, Oregon, and one from Minneapolis, already get in touch with me. I'll have our youngest son and our daughter, who's the oldest in our family, with me this afternoon. And I think for me, the biggest privilege that I have had is to show my children what it means to be changed, what it means to become a new person, what it means to love Jesus so much that you want to live to please him. And I say that because it hasn't been easy, and I have understood over the years what it means that the Holy Spirit is the one that enables me to change, and I have to commit to it. But celebrated 50 years last year. Now it's 51 this June, this time when I became a believer in Christ and been sober for 51 years. And that's really a good thing. But, you know, as I go through life and I begin to understand what we're going through and why we as Christians need to really stand up and say, this is what it means to be in a follower of Christ. This is what it means to show the world what a world life can be when it's lived in a manner that pleases God. I'm going to be speaking out of 1 John this morning, chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I am going to read the chapter, and then later I'll break it down. And when I break it down, it will be on the screen. But when John was writing this letter, this first letter, he was in Ephesus. And he was battling what is called docetism. Docetism was saying that God didn't come in the flesh, that God came in the spirit, but not in the flesh, and Jesus wasn't the Son of God. So John was writing to say, this is not true. This is truth, and I'm going to be saying it in many different ways, but I want you to listen, and we will be listening in just a moment. But before we start, and before I read that chapter, let's pray together. Father God, what a privilege it is to know that I know you. Not know about you, but I know you. And I know that's true for those who are here today. I hope for everyone here, they understand the difference from knowing about you, but knowing you as you have come in the person of Jesus Christ, and you have done that which is unbelievable, given your life for our sins and enabled us to know that we too can be changed and become more like Jesus. So Father, may you give us ears to hear today. May you give me the words to say, words that are coming from you, not from me. We ask your blessing upon this time together. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now would you listen as I first read the chapter and then we'll go through it paragraph by paragraph. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that we may have fellowship with us. You may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and I will declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin and we are only foolish, fooling ourselves and not living in the truth, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our heart. And I titled my message this morning, Take Time to Be Holy, because this is what this is about. You know, we need to take time to be holy. And how do we do that? How do we do that? And I need to tell you that when I think about being holy, I really had to fight through what it meant in the minds of many people, that they are better than other people, that they are closer to God, that they shine, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's not what being holy is all about. Being holy is being more like Jesus, more loving and more kind. Someone who loves the Father so much that you're willing to give your life to prove that love. And we need to work that through in our own lives. And I do it in my age, you know. I just cannot tell you how glad I am that I made that decision in 1968 to be a Christ follower, to take God at his word, to be led by his spirit. I can't tell you the difference that he has made in my life, because you didn't know me before. You only know me now. But on the screen now will be the chapter that I've just read, and I'm going to talk about three things, basically. If we're going to take time to be holy, we need to, first of all, in the first paragraph, experience the cleansing of his presence. I don't know about you, but I need to daily set aside a time when I can enter into the presence of God. And you can't enter into the presence of God without spending time, first of all, asking for forgiveness, asking for cleansing. We'll talk about that in a moment. But when I'm standing or sitting and walking in the presence of God, something happens. God enables me to enjoy his presence, but he also reminds me again of what it means to walk in the light as he is the light, to really become someone who is known by their faith. And some of the songs we sang this morning were so good. When my faith is getting stronger and I am standing more firm in my faith, it becomes evident who I belong to. It becomes evident that I am a child of God. At Good News this last week, we had Vacation Bible School. And some of your children were there, and some of the older teens and stuff were there to help, and thank God for that. We had a good crowd. And Nancy and I, my wife, we went on Friday for the closing program, and there was about 100 kids. I think there was over 20, 25 little kids, and they were so excited, and they were so filled with joy, and they were singing, and they were dancing, and they were telling us what they had learned throughout the week. And after we got done, I said, Nancy, when did we lose that joy, that ability to dance and to praise God and to sing in a way that it's coming from our heart, and it's just not from our heads? And we talked about that. And I think at times, you know, there are different times that people who know Jesus, when they were little, they kind of walk away and trying to figure out for themselves what personal faith is all about. And some come back, and some of them, it seems like they take a long time, and some you're not sure. And we have that in our family as well. But, you know, there's such a beautiful thing to do, to daily find time to experience the cleansing of God's presence. Let's read that first chapter, first paragraph, I mean. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen him and heard, so that we may have fellowship with us. You may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. And there's something so powerful about that. When I can take time to enter into the presence of God and experience his cleansing, experience his love, talk about things that I needed to talk about because I've said some things or done some things that weren't pleasing to him. And most of the time I do okay, but I'm still human and there are times when I'm impatient and I don't listen to my wife as I should. And now that I have hearing aids, I can't see, I didn't hear you. So we've gone through that. But you know, there's something so wonderful. When Nancy and I, we've been married now 63 years in November. And when we can sit down and just share life together and enter into the presence of God, and it's such a beautiful thing. And there's something about cleansing, watching God cleanse us from all unrighteousness that happens. Last night, we were watching TV. We have our house, where the corner of our house has a little room, and we use that as our TV room. And mine's seat is in the corner, and hers is over a little bit further. And she says, Dwayne, she says, you got to look out your window. And so we had put up a little birdhouse last year. And we had a couple of birds that nested in there and had some babies, and that was wonderful, but we hadn't seen anything this year. But all of a sudden, there was a couple of wrens that came, and they were cleaning house. I mean, it was so funny to watch them. They'd go in the small hole, and pretty soon their little head would come out. They'd have leaves and dead stuff in their mouths, and they'd throw it away. And inside they'd go, they'd come out, and they were cleaning house together, and pretty soon one would take off and kind of get time to breathe, and the other would go in and clean house. And it was just a wonderful experience of what we can do as well. We just need to take time to clean house in our lives and to really, really experience God's presence. I took our daughter, who's handicapped, to work church this morning, and Nancy was there with the other car, and she had the walker. And pretty soon I heard her say, Dwayne, I'm praying for you and I love you. And boy, that is a wonderful thing to hear. But we need to experience the cleansing of God. We need to know that God is not only here, but in the person of Jesus Christ, he's enabled us to know him and have a personal relationship. And we can have fellowship with him, and we can have fellowship with one another because of who we are. You know, I know fellowship is something that I think we have lost sight of. Fellowship is spending time in the presence of God, but it's doing something that God has asked us to do. I like that I saw you're going to have church. It's going to go outside in July. I like it the way Preston and now his wife and Isaiah are going to be going to Japan, and they're going to be having fellowship together as they go, but they're going to be doing things over there that is going to really, really be special to them, things they will never forget. But we as believers need to have time to spend with each other and with God, working together to promote the kingdom of God. And I really think that's important. And I don't know about you, but I need to work at that. I can get so busy doing other things. But I want you to think about that, especially fathers who are here today. You know, in my years of ministry, I have seen children who understand a personal relationship with God because their father has a personal relationship with God. Their father loves God, and he shows that in many different ways. Then I've seen children that don't have that understanding of what a personal relationship is about, and the father isn't living it out in their presence. They don't have that sense. As a father, I understand that I am supposed to be the Christ figure in our home. The way I love my wife as Christ loved the church, the way I love my children by showing them the way. I don't control them, but I pray for them. I encourage them, and I was doing some of that this morning. And what a beautiful thing on this Father's Day to think about that. Experience the cleansing of God's presence. John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And I love that known. I know God because I know Jesus, who is the visible expression of the invisible God. And as I read through the scriptures, and I try to do it every year, sometimes I just do in the New Testament, but I try to do it, I try to experience God in a fresh way, a new way, because I've grown. I've taken time to be holy. I've spent time in God's word on a daily way, and I've talked to him often. You know the old hymn, "Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord." That is such an important hymn. You know, abide in him always and be obedient to his word and make friend of God's children. Help those who are weak. Remembering always his blessing to seek. And I love that verse, that song. And there are times when each one of us has to take that time because we've gotten away from doing that. And there's also a way that as I was reading scripture, and John Piper, he's a man who has written many books that have helped me with my personal relationship with God. And he's written a book called Desiring God. And in that book, he kind of brings some of the verses out that say, if we really desire God, we need to understand that he is the source of joy. That deep down in my heart, when I feel okay with God, I get joy in my life. Galatians 22:23a, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. For me, those are the things that matter. Those are the things that matter. By Romans 14:17, but the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat and drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Nancy and I just got back from Waco, Texas. Our son, Rick has a son, Eric, and he graduated from Baylor just a few weeks ago, and then he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Air Force. And what a great weekend. It was hot and it was muggy, but it was a good weekend. But we went out to eat after the commissioning, and I saw Eric kind of look at his dad and said something, and then when we were ordering, he ordered a beer. And I thought, good for you, Eric. Do what is right for you. Afterwards, my son, Rick, said, he asked me, he said, Dad, do you think Grandpa will mind if I have a beer? And I don't drink because I'm an alcoholic, but I know it's something that we all can do. But it's so neat to know that his faith is his faith, and he has a strong faith, but it's not based upon what he eats and drinks. It's based upon what he does to prove his love for God. And that is so important. Romans 15:13a, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. And then this does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. And that is so important. And as fathers, we need to help our children understand that, our grandchildren. You know, we have 4 children, 10 grandchildren. By the end of this year, we'll have 10 great-grandchildren. And some of our grandchildren haven't even got started yet. But they know who Grandpa is. They know what he stands for. But they know that his faith is his faith. And he gives every one of his children and grandchildren, great-children, time and to figure it out for themselves. But talk to them and show them what being a Christ follower is all about. Number 2, experience the cleansing of his blood. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, we know that he shed his blood for you and for me. And there's something about experiencing the cleansing of his blood, but we somehow don't realize how to do that. Now, in that second paragraph of 1 John, this is the message we have heard from Jesus, and now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's something about having fellowship with one another that brings cleansing from the blood of Jesus, because we all share together in that. We are who we are. We're sinners. But God has revealed himself to be a loving God who has proved that in sending his Son and asking his Son to shed his blood on the cross for each one of us. And if we put our faith in him and we fellowship together based on that, there's something about the blood of Christ that just is cleansing, and it's such a wonderful thing. It's such a wonderful thing. And we have a life group, and sometimes we share, and things come out that we just need to talk about. We just need to talk about. I'm working with a young man now whose wife walked out on him, and he's just overwhelmed with grief. But I spent time with him on Saturday and trying to help him understand that the blood of Christ is there, and it'll continue to cleanse him and to help him through this. And he needs to be Christ-like with his wife and with his children. And he needs to be a father with his teenage daughter who's 16, who's really trying things out right now. She's mad, and she's involved in some sinful behavior. And I says, but don't judge her, just love her, but talk to her about the dangers of these behaviors, the things that it can cost them. Premarital sex can cost you a lot. Getting drunk at your age can cost you a lot. And we need to talk about that. And so he thanked me and we prayed together. And there's something so special about being cleansed by the blood and then fellowshipping around that, because true fellowship cleanses us. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit or a right spirit within me. As David was praying to God after he had committed adultery, and he was saying, God, create in me a clean heart. My heart is not clean, and I need to do that. And fathers, we need to really do that. And I've, over the years, especially when our kids were young, I've had to ask for forgiveness, because I've lost it with them, and it didn't help at all. And we've prayed together and trying to work it through together. But it's paid off over the years. And then my final point is experience the cleansing of his word, the final paragraph. For if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. When I started out ministry, I was 40 years old, and I went out to South Dakota to a country church. And I had fought my desire to have a lot of drink, because I liked to get drunk. And I said, no, I'm not going to go there. It'll cost me more than I want to think about with my marriage and my family and my ministry and my church. And so I became a workaholic, and I just worked myself to death. In about 4 years into my ministry, they could see that I was about ready to go under. And so we found a place out in the Black Hills. It was a retreat center for pastors who just needed some help, needed somebody to talk to and put their arms around you and help you to understand that you didn't need to kill yourself. Jesus died for you. You didn't need to die for him. And one day when I was out in the Black Hills, I was walking out in the mountains, out in the hills there, and I heard a voice say, help, help. And I looked down at the bottom of this hill, and there was a woman that I didn't know. Her name happened to be Rebecca. And she had gotten herself down, and she couldn't get herself up. So I went down, and I gave her my hand, and we walked up the hill together. And her name happened to be Rebecca Lutzer, Erwin Lutzer's wife, who is the pastor, or was the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. And so we got to know each other. She had come out of one of our churches, and it was good. Yes, the first time and the last time we met. you know, to say I became lifelong friends. No, I just helped someone in a time of need for a moment, and it meant a lot to me. About 6 weeks ago now, I was up north preaching at Phillips, and I was on my way home, and I turned on my radio, and I got 88.1, and it's a Christian radio, and it was from Moody Church in Chicago. And who was preaching? Erwin Lutzer, who's now the pastor emeritus at Moody Church, just like I'm the pastor emeritus at Good News. It just means that you proved yourself that you can have a position in the church where you will help the elders, help the pastor in any way that you can. No pay, no authority, but it's fun. So I'm doing that now. I'm just commissioned last Sunday to be the pastor to the seniors, and that is great. But anyway, as Erwin Lutzer was speaking, he was speaking about taking a bath before you go to worship God. And I thought, what does he mean by that? And he used the verse that we have just read, that we can ask God to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wickedness. And we're supposed to do that. And his point was, if you're going to worship God, going to church, whatever you want to call it, and in your inner being, you're not clean, you need to take time before you go to take a spiritual bath. Say, God, forgive me and cleanse me before I go into your presence and worship you. And I thought, wow, isn't that a great thing? And I've been doing it ever since. You know, before I came here today, on the way up, I asked God to cleanse me, to fill me, to forgive me. And it was a freeing thing. And it's something that God has said you need to do, we need to do. And I'm going to say, fathers especially, all of you need to hear this. Before you go to worship, maybe from now on out, find a way to spend time asking God to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, of all wickedness, before you enter into his presence. I think then when you enter into his presence, you will experience the cleansing that God alone can give to you. I just put this verse down as I'm coming to a close. It's Ephesians 5. For husbands, fathers, this means love your wives, love your children as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her loved, holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. I had read a number of years ago about a missionary who spent every day an hour reading scripture. And somebody says, you can't remember all that. And he says, no, I know that's true. But as I understand it, when I read the word of God, it cleanses me. It just kind of cleanses me and just kind of takes out all the impurities. And so that's a practice that he had. And I think that's a good practice. And maybe that might work for you to really spend time with God and to really find a way to do that, to experience God's presence, to experience God's cleansing in a way that is right for you. So what do? To be holy? We take a spiritual bath often, especially before we enter into God's presence. And it will make your times of worship times of joy. And I want to thank Heidi because I've been going through surgeries and stuff with my heart and with my neck and with my back and been on some pretty powerful drugs. You know, there were times I forget what I did. I mean, I think I did it okay, but then I go to the next church and I go to the next church. So I sent over all the material on Thursday. And I got a call from Aaron, and he says, Heidi says you preached this the last time you were here. I said, no, I wouldn't do that. But as we talked it through, sure enough, I'd preached this in February, the last message I thought I was going to preach. So I said, within 2 hours, I will send you a new PowerPoint. I will send you a new outline. And I think this is what God wanted me to say. And on Father's Day, I needed to hear it, and I hope it helps you. Take time to be holy. Spend time in His Word. Be cleansed by His blood. Experience the presence of the Holy God. And when you experience that, there will be cleansing. Would you pray with me? Father God, I know these kinds of things are sometimes hard to really understand because we don't spend a lot of time thinking about what we did that we shouldn't have done. And I pray this will help all of us understand that. That we will find a time, and sometimes early in the morning, it's best just to spend time in Your presence, to allow Your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin or anything that we have said or done that we shouldn't have said or done in a way that was not pleasing to You, so that we can get it right with our wives, with our children especially. And on this Father's Day, I pray that each one of us, those of us who are fathers, might find a way to say to our children, I love you, and I'm sorry for anything that I might have done that was not done in a Christ-like manner. Please forgive me. And I pray that each one of us might experience Your holy presence today, and we might realize that we have taken some time to be holy. And I pray that that might be true. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with Your presence. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.